This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Back in July of 2020, Kansas City, Missouri police officer Tyler Moss was shot in the head in the line of duty. Miraculously, he is defying the odds, recovering from the traumatic brain injury the gunshot wound caused, to return to law enforcement. On Memorial Day, he'll be the brain injury honoree for the 35th annual Going the Distance for Brain Injury race over at Loose Park. Joining me to talk about his experiences and the challenges he's had to overcome after suffering a traumatic brain injury is Officer Tyler Moss. Tyler, welcome to Up to Date. So good to have you here on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on today.
So, Tyler, set the scene for us, if you would. You're out on a call. What happened that ultimately resulted in you suffering a gunshot wound?
So, I actually don't remember going to the call or anything, but from what I was told...
Which is probably a blessing, I'm guessing.
Yes, 100%. So, from what I was told, we got dispatched to a person waving a gun at a McDonald's, and we showed up, and the guy that ended up ultimately shooting me took off running as we passed him. He started shooting at our police car as we drove by him. So we chased after him because as law enforcement officers, we can't just, you know, let this guy get away. So we kind of let everyone know that we had this guy shooting at us, and he took off running. So we chased him down, and I came around a corner and he started shooting at us again and then ultimately hit me just to the right of my right eye, and I dropped and landed on my face. And then another officer stood over me and engaged a suspect and took his life. And I was rushed to the hospital and given pretty much a 1% chance to live.
Who was there with you that day when the shooting took place?
My partner and a bunch of other officers were there as well.
Yeah. How did you wind up getting to the hospital?
So what happened was is a sergeant heard that I got shot and drove from my police station in East Patrol, which is in Kansas City, and came to the scene and loaded me up in his car and drove me in his in the police car to the hospital instead of waiting for an ambulance.
Were you sitting by yourself? I'm picturing you in the back seat, or how did that work?
So what I was told is my partner was back there along with another female officer, and they were kind of back there. I was unconscious, but I guess they were, you know, telling me, you know, stick with us. And they were, you know, talking to me and making sure, you know, I was okay, even though I wasn't okay. So they were back there giving me, you know, encouragement and everything else just to stay in the fight and stay, you know, stay awake as much as I could and just, you know, don't die on us. So.
And you don't remember any of this?
No, so I don't remember. I remember going to work that day, but I don't remember going to the call or anything else. I remember waking up in the hospital, and that was pretty much the only memory I have of being in the hospital or anything else. It's just waking up.
As you said, you weren't supposed to make it. 1% chance of survival, Tyler. That's breathtaking.
Yes.
The bullet still in your brain?
Yeah, so... I think they left it in there because it wasn't causing a bunch of damage. So they were just like, you know, it probably caused too much damage for us to go in and try to get it out. So they just left it in. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of cool, but kind of crazy at the same time. I know I have a bullet in my head.
That's a nice thing to tell people at a cocktail party, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, can you sense it back there or not?
No, I don't know what's there.
Yeah.
Besides, if you know, if they take a, you know, a scan of my head, I know it's in there. But other than that, I have no idea it's in there, which is obviously a blessing as well.
What did your recovery process look like? Because you had to relearn everything, I read. And what does that mean exactly?
So when I say relearn how to do everything, I'm talking about like toddler age. Like my mom would tell me, like, because I was in a wheelchair for the first month. I mean, I had to relearn how to walk. And when I say relearn how to walk, I mean like step by step, like getting up out of my chair to taking my first steps again, and then progressing to, you know, ultimately being able to run now and do everything else. But, you know, I couldn't, you know, tie my shoes. I couldn't bathe myself. I mean, being 24, 25 years old and then having to rely on someone else to do everything for you was not fun being that old. But it was a very humbling experience as well.
I was going to say, not fun and certainly frustrating. How did you manage the frustration that you were forced to deal with as you went through all this?
I would say my parents, my family, the police department, and ultimately my faith, really my faith is the biggest thing that got me through a lot of this rough and tough times and gloomy times, but really my parents and, you know, people around me, the police department, everything else ultimately is what got me through and is keep, you know, to keep me pushing to this day, every single day when I wake up.
But you had to learn, as you said, to retie your shoes, something you had done a million times before. And here you are sitting, fumbling your way through it. Again, I can't imagine how you would deal with something like that.
Yeah, it was, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't tough. You know, I couldn't do it at the beginning, but my mom kept telling me it's, you know, just because you can't do it now doesn't mean you're not going to be able to do it eventually. So I just had to keep, you know, keep learning and keep trying and keep failing and ultimately been able to, I can do it now. It's not as fast as it used to be able to do, but I don't really care. Because if someone were to say, I mean, I doubt anyone would be, hey, you know, why can't you tie your shoes that fast? But if they did, then I would tell them, hey, you know, I got shot in the head, so it takes a little bit longer so you can chill out.
Did all these things come back to you maybe a little more rapidly because you'd done them so many times before?
Yeah, I would say they came back pretty quick once I started getting the movements back down. But, you know, there's some stuff that I still deal with to this day. But
like what?
For the most part, a little bit of fine motor movements with my left hand, my left side, balance and coordination and stuff, which, you know, I don't know if that's going to come back to full capacity, but if it does, great. If not, then I'm just going to keep working at it and get as good as I can to get to that goal of being 100%. I don't know if it's going to be like I said, but, you know, I'm going to try my hardest to get to that point.
I'm visiting with Tyler Moss, who as a Kansas City, Missouri police officer in July of 2020 was shot in the head in the line of duty. We're talking about his recovery and how he's doing today. I'm not sure I have the timeline right here, Tyler, but at some point early on, you were transferred to a hospital out in Colorado, and I'm wondering why.
So July 2nd of 2020 is the day that I ultimately was shot. I think I was transferred. I was in a coma for 2.5 weeks. And I think I left to go to Craig Hospital, which is like a brain injury, spinal cord, and whatever else rehab place in Colorado. I think I went down there like July 23rd or 4th. And then I was there for 2 months and then came back to Kansas City and then started rehab in Kansas City.
At what point did your memory kick in again? What are the first things you recall post shooting?
So, to be completely honest, I don't remember. So all my long-term memories were there, like when I was a kid, but it was a short-term memory stuff that I really struggled with that I had to go to rehab for. I remember some pretty frustrating stuff as they had me read a story and then they'd give me details and then they'd be, okay, wait 10 minutes and you have to retell me the story in 10 minutes. And I'd be like, what the heck? So I had to do that stuff, just a bunch of memory stuff. And, you know, my memory is a lot better now, but it was a big struggle from the beginning because I didn't even know what happened to me when I woke up. I thought I got run over by a bike. And when I say that, I mean, I'm legitimately, you know, they asked me what happened to me and I thought, I was like, oh, I was in a bike accident. And then
why did you say that?
Because that's what I thought. I honestly thought. I was like, okay, I was in a bike accident. Ultimately, you know, I was not. Obviously, I was shot in the head, but that's what I thought. And I think it's funny now, but, you know, it's just crazy what the brain does. And I think that was God's way of, you know, shielding my brain from the trauma that I actually endured. Because I don't remember. If I were to remember every detail that happened that day, I would be a lot more messed up than I am today.
Oh, I bet. At what point did someone tell you, hey, Tyler, it wasn't a bike accident. It was something more serious than that.
So it was my speech therapist at Craig Hospital. She ultimately was the one to tell me that actually what happened to me. I think my mom tried to downplay it a little bit, you know, just to kind of be like, not to freak me out because, you know, my speech therapist told me what happened. And then she asked me the next day, and I still told her I got in a bike accident. And she's like, no, Tyler, you were shot in the head. And my mom's like, oh, I wouldn't have been that harsh on it, but okay. But, you know, it was just ultimately a crazy feeling. Know that, you know, I think police officers know that it's a possibility that this could happen to you, but you never think it's going to happen to you.
Of course.
Because you go to a million different calls all the time, and, you know, it takes that one time to have this happen to you. But it's not about what happened to me. It's about the person I become after the accident, to my, what I think. Like, I'm trying to get into motivational speaking and stuff like that. And, you know, I just want people to go through tough times just to keep fighting. And, you know, there's ultimately, you have to take the good out of a bad situation, is what I think. So
I was going to say, how did this event change your outlook on life?
So, like I mentioned earlier, I've always been a very faithful person, but, it's grown my faith exponentially a lot more. It's led me to meet a lot of good people. I'm actually in Texas right now at this thing called Adaptive Training Foundation, ATF, and it's for adaptive athletes. I met a lot of good people down here that are in wheelchairs and that are, you know, have severed limbs through traumatic accidents they've been through, but just seeing them and, you know, relating to everyone down here is a very humbling experience as well, and giving my output on life to them and what happened to me. So, I mean, I wouldn't wish this happened to me, but it's actually turned out to be a really good thing for me, to be honest. Very humbling experience.
Do you see yourself going back on the force again?
So, that's a good question. I am back at the police department. I'm actually at the police academy. I'm kind of mentoring and teaching the recruits. We'll kind of see what happens with full-time career. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If not, then, you know, I'll have a job on the police department if I, you know, choose to be a civilian. If I choose to go back to full duty, I don't know yet. It's kind of something I need to really sit and think about. Regardless of what happens, I know I did the job, and I'm very thankful for what the police department has done for me and my family and the whole city as a whole. So, yeah. You know, we'll see what's in store for me. I have no idea.
What do you want to do? What do you want to see happen as of today anyway? What would you like to see fall out from all this in terms of what you do with the rest of your life?
That's a good question as well. I would just say, I really think ultimately I was put on this earth to inspire people, help people out. So like I mentioned a few minutes ago, I really want to get into motivational speaking. That's why I'm kind of trying to get my word out there and just my story and what I've been through. And I really want to inspire people and help people out. I mean, that's the reason why I became a police officer to begin with, because I want to help people out. So we'll see what's in store for me, but I know there's good things ahead in the future.
I wanted to ask you about how people rallied around you after this happened. And in reading about this, one thing that really struck me was the rallying of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, not only on the day you were shot, but in the weeks after that. Tell me a little more about that.
So, like I said, they were very supportive of me and my family. The chief that just retired, Rick Smith, was a big part of my life. He was, you know, there for me and my family. He took my grandparents out to dinner. He took my family out to dinner. He took me out to dinner when I got back. Just the whole police department has been very supportive of me and my family, and I can't thank them enough. It's something that I will, in my eyes, will be forever indebted to them, because they've done so much for me. The whole city's been very supportive of me as well. Even though there's tough times with law enforcement career and everything else, but ultimately, you know, there are a lot of good people out there, and they are very supportive of law enforcement. It's just a select few that are the loudest, and those are the people that some people have listened to the most. But ultimately, we police officers are people. We do have families. We do have people that care about us. And I just want people to know that and understand that, you know, I live, breathe, I bleed, you know, everything else. And I just want people to know that we are normal people. Just because we have a badge and a gun doesn't mean that we're immortal or,
Right.
you know, robots or whatever people, some people think. So.
You've also mentioned your mother here to us a couple times today. How important was she in all this?
Yeah, she's been very supportive. I know she cares about me a lot. Her and my dad and my whole family. Her ultimately, my dad's been a big part, but my mom as well. She's been my one of my biggest supporters throughout this whole process, and I can't thank her enough. And really everyone that's been a part of my life, I can't thank them enough. So, I mean, I would just say I'm just thankful for everything that has happened to me in this past almost 2 years, actually.
You're the 2022 brain injury honoree for this year's Going the Distance for Brain Injury Run. Tell us about that.
So last year I ran it, and so I walked. They have a walk and a run. So
and it's at Luce Park on Memorial Day, I should point out.
Yes. So I ran it. So I ran and walked it last year, or actually I just walked it last year. I met a buddy from church. His name's James McGinnis, and he had a traumatic brain injury maybe 7 years ago. He was playing high school football. And I met him at church and just gained a really great friendship with him. And actually his dad, he was an honoree years back, but his dad ultimately put me in to be the honoree this year, and I ended up winning. So just very thankful for him and his family, the McGinnis family, to put me in for this. It's a very, you know, it's a very humbling experience for me to be able to do and go out there and ultimately be the honoree this year. It's something I'm never going to forget in my life.
The website is biarun.org in case people are interested for the Memorial Day run at Luce Park, biarun.org. That's Officer Tyler Moss. And Tyler, wishing you all the best. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.